high school lobby and past a new filtered water bottle fill station. Water samples taken from the drinking fountain the station replaced had a lead concentration of 10 parts per billion, twice Montana's legal limit for schools of 5 parts per billion for the toxic metal. Thomas Gates, the principal and superintendent of the small Phillipsburg School District, worries the new faucets, sinks, and filters the district installed for roughly 30 water sources are temporary fixes. The high school, built in 1912, is likely laced with aged pipes and other infrastructure, like so much of this historic town. Gates said, "If we change faucets or whatever, lead is still getting pushed in." The school in Phillipsburg is one of hundreds in Montana grappling with how to remove lead from water after state officials mandated schools test for it. So far, 74% of schools that submitted samples found at least one faucet or drinking fountain with high lead levels. Many of those schools are still trying to trace the source of the problem and find the money for long-term fixes. In his February 7th State of the Union address, President Joe Biden said the infrastructure bill be championed in 2021 will help fund the replacement of lead pipes that serve 400,000 schools and child care centers so every child in America can drink clean water. However, as of mid-February, states were still waiting to hear how much infrastructure money they will receive and when. And the schools are trying to figure out how to respond to toxic levels of lead now. The federal government hasn't required schools and child care centers to test for lead, though it has awarded grants to states for voluntary testing. During the past decade, nationwide unease has been stirred by the news of unsafe drinking water in places like Flint, Michigan. Politicians have promised to increase checks in schools where kids, who are especially vulnerable to lead poisoning, drink water daily. Lead poisoning slows children's development, causing learning, speech, and behavioral challenges. The metal can cause organ and nervous system damage. A new report by advocacy group Environment America Research and Policy Center showed that most states fall short in providing oversight for lead in U.S. schools, and the testing that has happened to this point shows widespread contamination from rural towns to major cities. At least 19 U.S. states test for lead in drinking water. A 2022 law in Colorado requires child care providers and schools that serve any kids from preschool through fifth grade to test their drinking water by mid-31st and, if needed, make repairs. Meanwhile, California leaders who mandated lead testing in schools in 2017 are considering requiring districts to install filters on water sources with high levels of lead. As U.S. states boost scrutiny, schools are left with complicated and expensive fixes. As it passed the infrastructure bill, U.S. Congress set aside $15 billion to replace lead pipes and $200 million for lead testing and remediation in schools. White House spokesperson Abdullah Hassan didn't provide the source of the 400,000 figure Biden cited as the number of schools and child care centers slated for pipe replacement. Several clean water advocacy organizations didn't know where the number came from either. Part of the issue is that no one knows how many lead pipes are funneling drinking water into schools across America. The Environmental Protection Agency estimates between 6 million and 10 million lead service lines are in use nationwide. Those are the small pipes that connect water mains to plumbing systems in buildings. Other organizations say there could be as many as 13 million. But the problem goes beyond those pipes, said John Rumpler, senior director for the Clean Water for America campaign at Environment America. Typically, lead pipes connected to public water systems are too small to serve larger schools. Water contamination in those buildings is more likely to come from old faucets, fountains, and internal plumbing. Lead is contaminating a school's drinking water when there aren't lead pipes connecting to a municipal water source, Rumpler said. Because of their complex plumbing systems, the schools have more places along the way where lead can be in contact with water. Montana has collected more data on lead-contaminated school water than most other states, but gaps remain. Of the state's 591 schools, 149 haven't submitted samples to the state, despite an initial 2021 deadline. John Ebold, spokesperson with the Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services, said the state made its deadline flexible due to the COVID-19 pandemic and is working with the schools that need to finish testing. Greg Montgomery, who runs Montana's lead monitoring program, said sometimes testing stalled when school districts ran into staff turnover. Some smaller districts have one custodian to make sure testing happens. Larger districts may have maintenance teams for the work, but also have a lot of more work to cover. Outside Burley McWilliams Missoula County Public School office, about 75 miles northwest of Phillipsburg, sits dozens of water samples in small plastic bottles for a second round of lead testing. Director of Operations and Maintenance for the district of roughly 10,000 students, McWilliams said lead has become a weekly topic of discussion with his school's principals, who have heard concerns from parents and employees. Several of the district's schools had drinking fountain and classroom sinks blocked off with bags taped over faucets, signs of the work left to do. The district spent an estimated $30,000 on initial fixes for key water sources by replacing parts like faucets and sinks. The school received federal COVID money to buy water bottle stations to replace some old infrastructure. But if the new parts don't fix the problem, the district will likely need to replace pipes, which isn't in the budget. The state initially set aside $40,000 for schools' lead mitigation, which McWilliams said translated to about $1,000 for his district. That's the one frustration that I had with this process. There is no additional funding for it, McWilliams said. He hopes the state or federal lawyers come through soon. He expects the latest round of testing to be done in March. Montgomery said February 14th he expected to hear any day now what federal funding the state will receive to help reimburse schools for lead mitigation. According to state data, half the 55 faucets in high school building had lead concentrations high enough to need to be fixed, replaced, or shut off.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Well, listeners of IRB English Radio, this is a new episode of your favorite program, Muslim Ladies. So welcome to this new episode in which we're going to talk about pretty much of a stuff that is all related to women. And as usual, we have Sister Zainab in here. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So, Sister Zainab, as you already know, this is the week of the birthday of Imam Mahdi, ajalallah farajah. And we can see that everywhere is decorated and all the people are so happy for this birthday. Of course, I offer my congratulations as well. We start thinking about, okay, we know that there is a role for men after the appearance of Imam Mahdi, ajalallah farajah, and also before that, when he's not, when there is no appearance. So let's talk about the role of women before the appearance and also after the appearance. How are we going to cooperate?
Yeah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A very actually nice question, because it's said that jihad is for men.
Yeah.
And then there may be some war kind of thing when Imam is going to reappear. I also extend in the beginning my congratulations in this beautiful month of Shaban to you and to dear listeners. And let's know more about Imam in this time, because the more we know about him, the more we get close to him, and the more we get close to him, as per narrations, we get closer to Allah. We attain that proximity, because that's how narrations have been answered, how to attain proximity towards Allah, by having the knowledge about the Imam of your time. Anyways, moving ahead, I was saying that we have this concept that jihad is for men, and that when Imam's going to reappear, there is going to be some war kind of thing. So men have to be his soldiers. Can women be his soldiers or not? Mm-hmm. Of course they can be, after, not just after his reappearance, but also before his reappearance, in terms of providing the necessary grounds for reappearance. Now, how can women actually provide those grounds, especially a Muslim lady who is listening to our show right now? It is first thing that you gotta realize is that you are a human being.
Yeah.
What the media is actually trying to portray today, and what history has shown us from the very beginning, like since the time, ignorant time in Arab, why would they bury a woman alive? Mm-hmm. Why would they bury a girl child alive? Was because of that ignorant period and not actually considering her a human being.
Yeah, so the human soul that existed in that girl.
Or a valuable soul. They would have not done that heinous crime that, you know, dug them all alive. So first of all, not just a society, a woman herself got to realize that she is a human being. Because what is being portrayed in media is that you are a tool, not a human. To do the advertisement of my cosmetic products,
yeah,
and to show that my products work well, because I'm earning money through that, I use women as a tool. You can see most of the advertisements are that of women.
Mm-hmm.
Here, she's not being used as a human being.
And they actually try to make her feel that this is not the aim of what they're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. See how with love, with passion, women come and they do these advertisements of those beauty products and all. Now, I'm not saying that women can't do any advertisements. Women are not authorized to do advertisements. I'm not here to say something about fake. But what I'm trying to say is, whatever you're doing, whatever you're being offered, just see, is my being human,
yeah,
valued
or your
or
body,
not
your beauty, or things like so mundane and worldly.
Here, wherever the body image becomes the focus,
yeah,
there a woman is definitely seen as a tool.
The humanity of that person lowers down, And that's it all. So right now, let's go for a short break and then we'll catch up for the rest.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
So welcome back, Muslim ladies. We're talking about the duties of women in the age of Imam and how they can cooperate with men in the society and having some roles. And Sister Zainab was giving us some introduction into this issue. And then we were talking about women being used as a tool in different advertisements and things like that. So Sister Zainab, what more?
Yeah, it's not just only advertisements. I gave a very small example. But everywhere, you know, I was saying in general, whenever you as a woman are offered anything in the society, in the businesses, in the market, in every... anywhere, just realize this offer, what does it contain? Mm-hmm. Is it taking me out of my being human frame?
Exactly.
If it takes me out, I do not accept this offer. Why do I need to accept this offer? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Talaq that do practice taqwa and I will be giving you from the ways that you have never imagined.
So, as I understand, we could say, we could put it this way, that my first duty and role is to respect my dignity and humanity more than anything else.
More than anything else. Yeah. And there could be, because I know some women have actually realized this. I have met them personally who say, all right, we do realize this, but we are forced. We are forced to work, because if we do not work this way, if we do not work in this environment, if I do not show off myself as in this society, in this particular, I don't know, field, then I won't be gaining money. I won't be able to feed my family. I won't be able to, I don't know, carry out many things, you know. First of all, we have to have, when we go and buy Quran, we try to buy best of the prints. We try to buy best of the fonts. We try to put it in best of the packages.
The beautiful
we try to put
covers.
It in the top of the shelves. It's not that. It's actually going into it. This apparent respecting Quran is fine, but what is actually more important is taking deep dive into the verses. As I mentioned, Surah Talaq says that, and it's also recommended, go and say these verses after your prayers, especially the Zuhr's prayers. Say these two, verse number 2 and 3, which say that if you practice taqwa, you don't even imagine, you won't imagine where from Allah is going to send you. I have personally realized this.
Which actually doesn't mean that you're not going through trouble and difficulties. No, on the contrary, you might face too much of obstacles. But the thing is that God is going to pull you through that.
Exactly. You never know where from God is actually going to give you. You sometimes get offers like you never knew.
Exactly.
Where from Allah is going to send me, where from Allah is going to... I'll give you some of my examples. Like, for example, I was getting offers from different countries that you work here, but you had to work from 9 to 5. And I was actually thinking to myself, a woman, 9 to 5 work for a woman, how she's going to manage home then, how she's going to manage
exactly
a child then, how she's going to manage...
Even herself.
Herself, her family, anything, you know? So for me, like, I personally don't prefer 9 to 5 jobs. So I kind of was providing handsome salary, obviously.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that aside, and then, you know, that's went into some another environment and started writing some kind of poetry. And I swear, within no time, for that poetry, in Iran, I was invited into different stees, and I had been just going around.
No, I get what you say. You just, the gist of what we were saying, difficulties are there. That doesn't mean that if I go for Allah and I respect my dignity, I would, everything is going to go so cheery.
Because I was
and
writing
pink.
Something for him. I was writing something for Ahlul Bayt, you know? Mm-hmm. And within no time, they were inviting me here, there.
They would shower you with too much of blessing.
Yeah, and I never expected that. So there are many more experiences in my life like that. I don't want to mention all of them here. The first thing that you can do as a woman, what's your duty towards the Imam of your time, is that realize that you're a human being, not a tool.
Exactly.
All right?
So this is the point. Let's keep it there. Go for a short break, and then we'll come for the rest. dear ladies, we are talking about what is our concern, which is our role and duty in society when we are living in the time of Imam, and we want to know how we could cooperate in this age. So Sister Zainab was telling us that the first and the most important role that we have is to respect our dignity and our humanity above anything else.
Yeah. First of all, realize that you are a human being, not a tool. Second, do realize that you are a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because what is being fed to you through different sources.
Media and the modern world.
You are equal to men. You're
exactly.
Not.
Yeah, you're not.
If you should have equal, you should be having you can see the feminism.
And tell you something, when we say we're not equal to men, we do not mean to degrade ourselves. No, there are some very vivid differences.
We have some rights that men crave for.
Yeah.
And men don't have them. So everybody has, Islam's actually balanced everything.
Exactly.
That balance is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Equality is not balance. Balance is justice.
Exactly.
Balance is being fair. And Allah and Islam is all fair. So you got to be realizing one thing, mm-hmm. that you're a human being and you're a woman. And what society is trying to teach you, or what media is going to is trying to feed you through different content, is that no, come on, you're equal to men, and since you're not, you are.
And actually, they are.
That's
going
what justice. Justice never means equality. Justice means balance.
Mm-hmm.
Putting everything at its own place is called justice. But what media is teaching us, it's just giving us a very awkward definition of being fair and being just.
It's
justice
a wrong
is not
notion.
Equality. We should realize
that. It's actually a wrong notion that is going to put much of burden on women's shoulder.
Yeah. So she got to realize her value. She got to, because she is a bringing a generation. So she has to realize, all right, it's not like I am a woman and I should be as strong as men and I should be having highest posts. All right. Islam has given you the highest post inside the family. That is, you are, if you're going to be modest, if you're going to be actually practicing piety. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to practice piety, you are actually upbringing not just one generation. You are upbringing generations with your piety. So you actually can create a strong family when you realize these positions. You can create a strong family, safe society. And creating a strong family and safer society is in itself, you're creating... You are the creator of the soldiers of Imam. That's your biggest jihad, to create a strong family, to be alongside with your husband in his dark and bright times.
Exactly, yeah. So thank you, Sister Zainab. This is actually all the time that we have for today's episode. Thank you for listening. Until another session, I just bid you farewell. May Allah shower you with His blessings. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Who is the lover? Rahman.
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illallah.
Muhammadur Rasulullah.
La ilaha.
Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, so Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy worry just as it has mentioned such men greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
for thought.
Salam, everybody. And since we are still basking in the blessings day of Imam Mahdi, peace upon him, is an interesting saying, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, regarding the presence of the 12th and last successor. Blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Earth shall never be devoid of the divine proof. He may be apparent and prominent, or he may be concealed and hidden. Because of him, that the proofs are not wasted.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en. Islam will eternally prevail.
Part 2.
The enemy targeted this mosque in its recent aggression like they did to the other mosques in the Gaza Strip.
On July 30th, they hit the mosque with unmanned drones that landed on the water tankers. None of the neighbors heard anything, and so did nothing. Then they fired another missile, which made us aware and think they were going to target the mosque, as that was the way the Israeli occupation worked, with unmanned drone missiles firing first.
We went to the balconies and windows immediately to see what was going on. We didn't know that the mosque was the target and the missiles hit the water tankers. They fired another missiles after that. Then people started to scream, urging us and our neighbors to leave our homes. We were unsure as to whether we should leave and risk getting bombed or stay and be exposed to the same risk. It was indescribable, a horrific time.
We had 50 people in our house. I was awake with my family next to me, which includes 3 boys, 2 daughters, and my wife. My 2 brothers and their families were there as well, totaling about 50 people. I woke the boys up and the girls and rushed to my brother upstairs. I can't describe to you how this all happened in just minutes. Those who were sleeping woke up alarmed, and we had to look after the elderly members and those who needed to be carried. Bottom line, we all left the building.
We were separated from each other. I lost 3 of my kids and had to go back to search for them. We weren't able to grasp what was happening in the moment. Electricity was cut and neighbors were screaming while ambulances rushed injured and firefighting crews raced around. I had to return after receiving a phone call from my neighbors telling me that my kids were at his place. On the way, I was injured, hit by shrapnel in my foot, back and head, and my brother was injured too. We were running, but we couldn't run far, because the missiles came down so fast as we were following one another.
This mosque was targeted with 2 unmanned drone missiles, followed by 2 F-16 vacuum missiles, as they call them. The F slaps of the minaret on the Radwan family's home.
أو سقوط المئذنة على بيت رضوان.
لما وقعت المئذنة على البيت طبعا.
The tip of the minaret that collapsed onto the house weighed 10 tons. It flew about 8 meters onto the roof. It was Allah's mercy that prevented it from falling on the neighbors. Otherwise, none of them would have survived. The main body of the minaret broke 3 to 4 roofs due to its heavy weight.
يعني من التقل تبعها.
كان في هناك شهداء من جراء القصف رجل مسن تأثر من القصف.
There were some martyrs as a result of the bombardment. An old man died and a pregnant woman from the Radwan family died also.
امرأة من آل رضوان كانت حامل بمولود طبعا توفى من جراء القصف.
مرت أخويا محمد كانت حامل 6 شهور على المطار.
My sister-in-law was 6 months pregnant. She miscarried on the spot due to the explosion. They sprayed missiles over the Palestinian people to the extent that shrapnel, sand and small stones reached as far as 500 meters.
الشظايا الرمال الحصو الصغير
يوجد بعض الإصابات مش أقل من 20.
There were 20 to 30 injuries suffered by people in nearby houses due to the impact of stones and glass flying.
الجارة والزجاج التي كان يتساقط على بيوتهم.
Al-Sosi worshippers refused to be distracted from performing their prayers near the mosque and so set up a makeshift mosque on a vacant land beside the original location, only to see it bombed also. Israeli aircraft did not give them the opportunity to pray.
وفعلا بدأنا بنصب الحديد وتجهيز المصلى وكان.
We started preparing a makeshift mosque the very next day. An organization provided us with the shading to finish it. We were shocked the next night to be hit by another bombardment targeting the area. We rushed to the area to find they targeted the exact spot we were preparing to build a makeshift
mosque.
The town of Huzar in the south, with a population of 9,000, suffered immense damage after it was heavily bombarded for 3 days by the Israeli regime to the degree that the town was almost completely wiped out. 7 mosques out of 9 were destroyed, the most prominent being the township center mosque, Jamaat Ibad al-Rahman. After the annihilation, Israeli forces besieged the town for 10 days, cutting it off from the outside world. A Red Cross worker described the scene as a tsunami of death.
Unfortunately, they sabotaged the infrastructure and the structures. The whole electricity network in Al-Najjar neighborhood and entire city in Huzar was destroyed. It was intentionally leveled by bulldozers. They removed the pylons, wires, water networks, and everything. They even leveled 7 mosques and blew them up with dynamite.
They are taking out their anger on the mosques. We don't know why they're doing this to mosques. They target people, mosques, houses, and everything around the mosque. All surrounding houses were destroyed. I live next to the mosque, but no one passes by or greets me now. I am so affected by this.
Northern Gaza also suffered extensive destruction of its mosques. One example was the beautiful Omar Abdul Aziz Mosque in Beit Hanan, important to Muslims worldwide and renovated by a Malaysian Islamic organization in 2013, was bombed to smithereens for the second time in its history by an Israeli airstrike. Rubble and a pile of concrete remain.
They targeted this mosque in every war. This is the second time now. The first building was bigger than this. It was 3 or 4 floors high, but it was targeted too. The Omar Mosque that we built was targeted as well. If they had destroyed my house, it would be much easier for me to bear. I have a great affection for this mosque that Allah only knows. The mosque is my whole life, as I attended there 1 or 2 hours before the call for prayer to recite the Quran and help clean the mosque. A whole life revolves around the mosque.
بأذن بنظف المسجد يعني حياتنا كلها في المسجد احنا
الاحتلال الاسرائيلي يفرغ حقده.
The Israeli occupation demonstrates its hatred on houses of the Lord. Destroyed mosques were found to have no weapons or resistance in them. We at the Ministry of Waqf supervise the mosques. We challenged the occupiers to present one piece of evidence that mosques were being targeted because of the Palestinian resistance or any resistance that acts whatsoever. They are places for worshipping only.
The Palestinians did not quit or give up as their holy places fell. They immediately went to work to construct temporary mosques and places for prayer. And whilst these hastily built sanctities provided little protection from the weather, it brought the people together for each call to prayer.
We set up structures to pray under while the rainfall was dripping on us. Praise the Lord that we are steadfast and that we will survive on this soil. No matter what the Zionists do, we will prevail and reform.
This mosque was built by residents of the neighborhood and from other good doers. We built a mosque inside the refugee camp in an area that was designated to be a park. We used material from greenhouses to build the mosque and we pray there. We decided to build a makeshift mosque because people here are devoted to their religion. We agreed we should build a mosque to perform rituals of the Lord and decided to make the mosque out of material from greenhouses. You can see those two where people used to fill the mosques before it was targeted. Now there are barely three lines in this small mosque. The houses of most of the neighbors were reduced to rubble and they were bare.
The Israelis target Palestinian mosques repeatedly. 27% of mosques along the Gaza Strip are either completely or partially damaged. It is their intention to subjugate the Arab and Muslim people. It is also to pave the way for the tearing down of the sacred Al-Aqsa Mosque to be replaced by a Jewish temple.
It's like they're telling people not to be shocked if the Al-Aqsa Mosque is destroyed, just like any other mosque that was destroyed in the Gaza war. That's what they want. But Al-Aqsa is different. If it was destroyed, all Muslims around the world under God's will would rain down on Israel, but the Lord will protect it with all its might.
The Palestinian people believe that the Lord protects his house. They believe that the mosques, and indeed Islam, will eternally prevail, despite all efforts by its enemies to destroy them.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, especially this program today is special. Salamu alaikum. Welcome to this episode. Under the title of Knowing the Imam of Time. This is another episode of today's special on Thursday, 16th of Sha'ban, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 18th of Isfand, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and 9th of March, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. In this part, we listen to chapter Asaf, verse 9.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
It is he who sent his messenger with guidance and the religion of truth to manifest it over all religion, although those who associate others with Allah dislike it.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
The verse symbolizes the triumph of the Islamic faith, since such triumph is essentially based on guidance and the religion of truth. The Islamic faith and the Holy Quran are the divine light, and light manifests itself everywhere and at all times and results in triumph. Nonetheless, the polytheists and the disbelievers' dislike may not impede the path in the least. It is noteworthy that the final stage of such a spread of us will be realized upon the arrival of Imam al-Mahdi. May our souls be sacrifices to him. It is narrated in consecutively transmitted traditions that the triumph of the Islamic faith over other divine religions will realize upon Imam Mahdi's arrival.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Baqiyatullahi khayrun lakum in kuntum mu'minin. Wa ma ana alaykum bihafiz.
يا ابن زهراء بيا 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 يا ابن زهراء بيا 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 يا ابن زهراء بيا بيا بيا.
In this series of today's special, we know more about the Imam of the time. All the Shia ulama agree that in case of imamate, besides believing in the Imam, we must also love him. Just to believe that Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, and the other imams were the most superior, most knowledgeable, most courageous, in their time is not enough. A Shia is one who, besides believing in these things, also loves his imam. But the question is, can a person love someone without knowing him? No. Love comes after knowledge of that particular person or thing. At this point, we can conclude that the real Shia is one who believes in the present Imam and also loves him. And as love cannot exist without knowing the Imam, so a Shia has an obligation to know the Imam of his time as much as he can.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, today we are going to talk about the knowledge of the present Imam. Just to believe that Amirul Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam and the other Imams were the most superior, most knowledgeable, most courageous, and etc. And that is, a Muslim, a real follower of the school of Ahlul Bayt, is one who, besides believing in these teachings and in these things, also loves his imams. But the question is, can a person love someone without knowing him? No, love comes after knowledge of that particular person or thing. At this point, we can conclude that the real follower of the school of Ahlul Bayt is one who believes in the present imam and also loves him. And as love cannot exist without knowing the Imam, so a Shia or a follower of the school of Ahlul Bayt has an obligation to know the Imam of his time as much as he can. Without knowledge, one cannot love his Imam. And without loving the Imam, the Prophet and Allah
the faith of that person will be imperfect. This love of the Imam is so important, even in the view of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has named it as a reward for the messengership of Muhammad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter 42, verse 23, say, O Muhammad, I do not ask of you any reward for it, but love for my relatives. Which type of knowledge can create love? Actually, there are two ways of acquiring knowledge about a person or a thing. First is the knowledge based on a research and a study, that is, at-tahqiq, that we do research. And the knowledge based on following the others, that is, at-taqlid, that is, we imitate somebody. Tahqiq or research means a person himself acquires the knowledge by studying until he reaches to the level of the certainty and conviction. Whereas taqlid means a person blindly follows someone else in that matter. He himself does not study. He just believes in that particular matter because he trusts someone who told him to believe so.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special,
be like the earth, humble and wise, be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
This is today's special, different aspects of preparation, and one preparation is justice. One of the major characteristics of the utopia is justice, which will be prevalent in all the various domains of human life, such as society, politics, government, economy, law, jurisdiction, and culture. The Holy Quran is the first resource to theoretically and practically propose the issue of justice in the society that is waiting. Having implanted the seed of justice in the heart, the Holy Quran has made everyone think about it in theory and seek to realize it in practice. The Holy Quran has expounded justice in all its various aspects. The justice of creation, the justice of legislation, ethical justice, social justice, and so on. Certainly, we send our prophets with manifest proofs, and we send down with them the book and the balance, so that mankind may establish justice.
My hands, my life are at your command. Help me, Ya Mahdi. Help me to help you in action and speech, to deliver your message to the people I reach. 1,200 years you've been alive, and wait. You wait, we wait. We've prepared your seat. A Muslim, a man, a guide, our savior. God will bless us with you as a favor. They ask us, how is it you've lived for so long? We smile and remind them of Jesus and Elijah, or Khizr and Isa. They ask us, where are you? Why would God hide you? We remind them of Yusuf. You return when we decide to improve our actions, to accept our failures. Men rise to lead nations but fail for centuries. Our daily behavior makes God delay our savior. God promised your victory to us in the Quran, like Moses or Musa. He protected your birth. We have said in the Psalms and the Torah that my righteous servants will inherit the earth.
One of the rules as we wait for the Imam's reappearance is connecting with marja'iyyah, or religious authority. Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, commanded his followers to follow the most knowledgeable and most pious jurists in the seminaries during his occultation. Otherwise, following the religious opinion of unqualified individuals will not only lead the believers astray, but also cause suffering. It is an essential obligation upon all believers to choose a qualified jurist. What for? To follow and get correct direction and advice from him. That is why taqlid or emulation is obligatory.
We have one hadith from the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him and his family. He says to his companions, you are my companions, but my brothers will come towards the end of the times. They shall believe in me without having seen me. It will be harder for them to hold on to their faith than to hold a burning piece of coal. Okay. I'm not reading them in Arabic in the interest of time, although they are very beautiful when read in Arabic. He says, there shall come a time on people after you, the Prophet says to his companions. He says, there will come a time on people after you. One man amongst them shall have greater reward than 50 of you. They said to him, Messenger of God, we were with you at the battle of Badr and Uhud and Hunayn, and the Quran was revealed amongst us. How could there be anyone greater than us? He said to them, if you had to bear what they shall bear, you would not have the patience that they shall have. And he explains this in another tradition. He says to his companions, there shall come a time when the heart of a believer will melt like salt melts in water, because he shall see sin and wrong being committed around him, all around him, but he will feel helpless, unable to do anything about it. And the believer shall walk amongst people in fear. If he speaks the truth, they will eat him up. In other words, they will just be all over him. And if he keeps quiet, then the anger and the anguish will consume him from within. And Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi says, he says, I swear by Allah, you will be sieved. Mankind has no option except that they will be tried, and they will be tested, and they will be sieved until many of you will fall out from the sieve, and there shall not remain of you except very few. And he says in another tradition, I swear by Allah, that for which you have stretched your necks, and that for which you are waiting eagerly will not come until many of you have lost hope in his return. Allahumma,
brothers and sisters, we reached to the end of this episode of today's special. Thank you very much for staying with us till now, and we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.